Welcome to Absolute Advantage, the show guaranteed to shorten your path to success. We talk to amazing entrepreneurs and leaders at the top of their game and give you the tools to develop the advantage you need to lead, succeed, and make a difference. Now, here's your host, successful entrepreneur, investor, and master connector, Kelly Hatfield.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Kelly Hatfield. And as always, on this show, we aim to bring you strategies and insights that will shorten your path to success. Our goal is that you'll walk away with at least one tip, idea, strategy, insight that inspires you to take action in your professional and or your personal life. So that's the key here, everybody. I really want you to make sure that you're listening to this from the perspective of where you're looking to walk away with something that you can apply and take action on. So I'm so excited to introduce you to John Mitchell. John Mitchell's 12-minute a day Think It, Be It technique is recognized today as the top practical application in the world of the legendary book Think and Grow Rich, which I'm sure many of you listening have read. And if you haven't, you need to pick it up and read it. Applying this book to his own life caused his annual income to go up from the low six figures to over $5 million a year. This technique also allowed him to meet the love of his life in his 50s. John's technique doubles your control of yourself, triples your personal growth, and focus every day on what moves the needle in your career. The science behind his technique was profiled in a Time magazine cover story. Today, John teaches his 12-minute day technique at the University of Texas at Austin as a faculty member at the McCombs School of Business, one of the top-rated business schools in the country. So as you all just heard, we have an amazing guest with us today. Let's soak it up. John, welcome. I'm so excited to have you on the show.
Thank you, Kelly. I so appreciate it. And I got to say, I'm totally impressed with you and the podcast. I think what you're talking about with regards to leadership is so powerful, especially about leadership of self, which is sort of my specialty.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that compliment. I hope we're making a difference. So thanks for that feedback.
Sure. Sure.
So I gave a very, very broad brushstroke here. I am fascinated by your story and how the 12-minute a day thought process came to be. So would you mind taking a little bit of time here to share your story with our listeners? I know they will be as fascinated as I am.
Sure. Sure. So I started out as a CPA, but by the time I turned 30, I decided to become an entrepreneur and started in real estate development. And that led to owning a major interest in a bank. And then I started buying small operating companies. This is like when I was in my late 30s. And it started with a restaurant, of all things. And then it rolled into the publishing industry, followed by through most of my 40s being in the automotive industry. But Kelly, you know, when I turned 50, I just wasn't as successful as I thought I should be. And I really had two goals in my life, to make enough money so I didn't have to work and to find the woman of my dreams. And so at 50, I had managed to fall short on both of them. And as an entrepreneur, I was always pretty successful. I was blessed to make six figures a year, but really never close to $1 million a year. And on finding a girl at 50, I'd never been married. But I can tell you, Kelly, it was not from a lack of interviewing.
I love it.
I did a lot of interviewing, but just couldn't find the right one. And then a defining moment happened, and shortly after I turned 50. So I do the math. If I don't start making over $1 million a year, I'd never have enough money to experience really true freedom in my life. I'd never have really the lifestyle I always really wanted for myself. And this hit me like a ton of bricks. And it was clear I had to make it happen in my 50s. The pressure was clearly on. And it's interesting, Kelly, only later did I realize that pressure was a good thing. And I'll tell you about that a little later. But so I make a decision. I decide I'm not going to keep on doing what I've always been doing. And I fundamentally had to change the way I created success in my life. But the question was, so how do you do that? Then, Kelly, you know, a pearl of wisdom and enlightenment really hit me. Why not find the top book in the world on success ever written, the number one book on success and achievement, and then apply that book to my life? And the logic was so simple and profound and compelling. And so after I did some research, I found that there actually is one book that excels over all other books on this topic, and it's Think and Grow Rich. And have you ever read the book Think and Grow Rich?
Yes, several times.
Yes, it's good to read it more than once, isn't it?
Yep, absolutely. At different phases of in my life. Believe it or not, that book is one of the first books my dad gave me, and I was probably 16. So I read it for the first time when I was 16, and I've read it at other points in my life, you know, because just your perspective is so much different. So I didn't get as much out of it when I was that age. I was like, why is he having me read this?
Right.
But
right.
But each time something new comes from it every time I read it.
Right. Well, and you know, for the audience, it really is the greatest selling book on success and achievement ever written. Over 100 million copies sold, which is pretty astounding. So I read the book, and the central concept of the book is what you envision in detail on a daily basis is what shows up in your life. But then I discover there's a problem. There wasn't a practical way to apply the book. But then something really came to me after I pondered that problem for maybe a week or so. Maybe I had to create the practical application myself. So I did, and I applied it to a new business I was just starting in the financial services industry. And over the next 9 years, I continually tweaked my 12-minute-a-day methodology that I created. And over that 9 years, my income went from the low six figures a year. You know, I'd probably make $200,000 a year, more or less, to over $5 million a year. So quite a change from my 20-year history of making low six figures a year. You know, is a 25-time increase. And I could see why that was happening. I was clearly operating at a higher level each and every day than I ever had before, and I could actually feel it. And the best news was that I met the woman of my dreams shortly after applying it as well. And so the results really changed me as an entrepreneur, Kelly, and I became fascinated by the fact that you could take two key scientific principles and apply them to your life and materially impact your success and achievement in life. And it really amazed me that you could make such a small change that only took 12 minutes a day and so radically change your outcomes. And so I found it so intellectually interesting that I ended up selling my company. And then, as luck would have it, a few months later, I met the former chancellor and president at the University of Texas at Austin. And I told him about my story. And he said, you have to teach this 12-minute-a-day methodology at the University of Texas. And he says, why don't we teach it together? And so I'm like, wow.
Wow.
And I'm like, this is good. So today, you know, feeling so incredibly blessed for what this did for me, I passionately teach this methodology to others as really my way of giving back and making my dent in the universe. So that's my story.
I love it. I love your story. And there are a couple of questions that kind of popped up while you were telling your story that I jotted down. I'm interested, you had made the realization that if you didn't start making that $1 million at least a year, you wouldn't be able to, that the freedom you were looking for, you know, you wouldn't achieve that. And I know everybody's definition of freedom is a little bit different, but I was interested to hear what's your definition of freedom.
Well, I think freedom to me is simply being able to get up every day and do what the heck you want. And,
yes.
And, you know, I tell you, you'd find this funny. I've got a, I've got two stepchildren, mm-hmm. and they're both about 30. And I just talked to my wife about this last night. And my stepson, who is great, he's a great personality. He's into music. But he's challenged with the basic concept that you have to trade your time for putting a roof over your head and food on the table. He doesn't really believe that should be the case, that you really ought to just play music and enjoy life and it's all just wonderful. you know, I wish that was true, but that is the dynamics that we all live in. You got to trade your time to put food on the table and put a roof over your head. And I found that once you get to that point where you have enough money so you don't have to work, I mean, life just becomes amazing, I've found, in that you get up every day and you do what you're passionate about and you don't have the pressure you know, earning a living. And I really found that the real value of it is not the material things. I mean, sure, it affects your lifestyle, and if you can have the house on the lake, you can drive the car of your dreams, you can take those vacations to Italy, and all that's great and wonderful. But that's really not the thing that I found was the best thing. I found that the best thing was, you know, all of us sort of deal with this sort of the worry about finances and what's the future look like and am I ever going to have enough money, and to get over that worry and to have that freedom to do what you want and that pride of accomplishment that sort of comes from achieving, boy, that's something money just can't buy.
Right. No, I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. I was curious when you mentioned that. I thought, interesting. I want to know a little bit more about that. What about
can I mention one more thing about that?
Absolutely.
You know, when I was trying to get to that point, I didn't want to think about it. And the reason I didn't want to think about it was because I wasn't sure I'd ever get there, and I really didn't want to deal with the disappointment. But now I really have a different perspective on it. And I didn't really want to look at it because I thought there was only one way of creating success, hard work. And it was clear to me that wasn't working because I was always really hard working, but in my 30s and 40s, but that wasn't working. But when I discovered Think and Grow Rich and this what you envision in detail concept, I saw that the power of applying that concept was life-changing, and that there was value, in fact, of really looking at what sort of the other side looked like in detail, because it created the incentive. But it only was valuable once I saw that there was an alternative to hard work.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That makes sense?
Absolutely it does. And I'm sure that there are a lot of people right now listening who can totally relate to that, where they're really working hard and just not making the progress that they'd like to see or that they expect to see for themselves. Or they're doing something similar where they're I'm just not going to think about it because I don't want to be disappointed. So a similar kind of thought process that you just shared. So I think there are probably a lot of people listening who can relate to that.
And I'll bet you a lot of people experience what I experienced, like in my 30s, I think back on it. And in my 30s, I thought, well, I just had to find the right thing. Mm-hmm. That's the only problem with me. The reason I'm not making seven figures a year is because I'm just not in the right thing. Well, okay, so I'm pitching that myself in the 30s, in my 30s, and I accept that. Then in my 40s, I had a little change, and if you don't mind me asking, are you in your 40s?
I am. 30? Yep, I'm moving on to the other side of my 40s. I'm headed
well,
that direction.
and I tell you, I don't know if you experienced this, Kelly, but I did. So after my 30s and not being as successful as I thought I'd be, when I probably turned 40, I thought, well, let me think about this. Maybe I need to take a little different approach and just do my best. That's something I can control. I see that the outcomes that I'm having are not really exactly what I want. And so I'm going to just focus on doing my best. And that's a better approach. And that's going to be my identity in my 40s. And so off I go. Well, that helped. That helped because it really did, you know, help me deal with some of the outcomes not being great. But here's the problem I found with that. You don't know what you don't know. You think you're doing your best, and you are doing your best based on what you know. But the reason you're not having the outcomes you want is because you don't know what you don't know. And one of the things I discovered in my journey was that part of the reason I wasn't having more success was because the solution was not in my head. I had the, and you know, that clarity came to me that, oh, it's not in my head, because if it was in my head, I would have already discovered it. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
And so and that's sort of the genesis of what created the push to find it from outside my head.
I love
and
that.
So that's that, and that so that was the transition in my 30s and 40s. And one of the things I think you'd find this interesting. So in my 30s and 40s, if you had asked me to rate myself as an entrepreneur, I would have rated myself an 8 probably and on a scale of 1 to 10. And I thought that really because I worked harder than my friends. But then in retrospect, after I, you know, was in my 50s and I discovered this and applied it, I'm like, I wasn't an 8. I was a friggin' 3 or 4. I mean, just the comparison, you know. But again, I thought I was an 8.
Mm-hmm.
So,
isn't
you know,
that funny?
Interesting.
Absolutely. I'm interested. The other thing that you mentioned, you know, in your story were you used the phrase two key scientific principles or discovery. So what are those that you mentioned? That you alluded to them, but do you
right.
mind sharing those with us?
No, absolutely. Well, here's the first one. And it's an inherent problem that absolutely everybody faces. We're all using an antiquated operating system to run our lives that is based on survival and on daily survival, in fact. And this is the case. If you do no daily programming at all, you're running on this operating system. And the problem with it is that it causes 90% of your thoughts to be fear-based. And you're reactive rather than proactive on your agenda. And Kelly, you know, think about that. So if you're geared to daily survival as we were centuries and centuries ago, your whole focus is what danger is coming at me. So you have to be reactive. But in the modern world, you know, daily survival is not that big a deal, obviously. And what's way more important is being proactive on your agenda and making things happen and focusing on what really moves the needle. And so everybody has got to overcome this fundamental problem. And it's through this 12-minute a day daily programming that overrides that that antiquated operating system and really puts a 21st century operating system in place.
Perfect. Okay. Operating system. Okay. So just making sure that I understand. So those two key scientific principles are, you know, you're being more proactive on your agenda. So kind of overcoming that standard operating system and putting some daily programming into place.
Right. Well, and that's the first one.
Okay.
The first principle is the antiquated operating system. The other thing is science over the last, 20 years. Yeah, there's been this big push in the scientific world to understand what makes the mega achievers the way they are. And what we all know is that at the end of the day, your success comes down to the actions you take. Pure and simple, right? Would you disagree with that?
No, I would agree 100%.
But here's the problem with most things in the success and achievement industry. Most things are just strategies, and they affect your intentions. But Kelly, the problem for people is not lack of intention to be more successful. It's affecting their daily actions and also their thoughts, but primarily their daily actions. And this methodology that I've created directly affects those daily actions. And the reason it impacts them is because of that second discovery that there's a part of the brain that actually controls your daily actions and thoughts. And interestingly, it's only influenced by repetition, mm-hmm. not by logic. You know, we're used to influencing ourselves with logic.
Right.
But the part of the brain that controls your daily actions and your thoughts is solely influenced by repetition. And that's the power of providing this 12-minute-a-day methodology to your life every day.
Is the repetition. So you're basically building this good habit or routine or ritual that you do repetitively where you're taking these daily actions that move the needle and move you towards ultimately the outcome that you've set.
Right, right. And I'll explain specifically sort of how that works. So we define exactly the person you want to be in the five key areas of your life, exactly what you want to accomplish in life, and precisely how you're going to achieve your clearly defined goals. And you feed that to yourself every single day. Well, now you're going to, because of the repetition, it's going to affect your daily thoughts and actions. And after 21 days, then it starts showing up in your thoughts and actions automatically. That's really the magic of it, when it starts happening automatically. And I'll give you an example of this. I think you'd appreciate this. And it pertains to my precious wife. So I didn't get married until I was in my 50s. And so I discovered something. Are you married?
I am. Yep.
Have you been married a long time?
I have. I've been married for I'll be going on 23 years here coming up. So, yeah, I've been married a long time.
Wow. Well, so I didn't get married until I was in my 50s, and all my married friends kept a secret from me, and I'm still pretty upset about it. But they didn't tell me that every once in a while your spouse will say something irritating to you. Has that ever happened to you?
On the daily.
Well, I didn't know that happened. I don't know why they were keeping that secret from me, but they were, and I discovered it. And so I didn't like what would come out of my mouth when my wife would say something irritating, and not that it happened all that often, but it happened. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, by God, I'm going to fix this. I mean, it took me too long to find this precious girl. I don't want to go find another one. So maybe I ought to fix this, because I thought it was a fundamental issue in marriage. So every day, so I go and I start feeding to myself, I'm going to be flexible, patient, and thoughtful. Every day I'm feeding myself that. Mm-hmm. Well, 15 days in, nothing. I mean, I'm no more flexible, patient, and thoughtful 15 days in than I was at the start. But then about, I don't know, 21st, 22nd day, my wife says something irritating. And Kelly, in that moment, I'm flexible, patient, and thoughtful. I mean, I didn't have to think about it. That's who I was. It happened automatically. And when that happened, I really stepped back and I thought, wow, this is really the power of maybe this 12-minute-a-day methodology. It was happening automatically. And then I thought, well, why did it not happen at 15 days? And why did it all of a sudden happen at 21, 22 days? Well, the reason it didn't happen at 15 days was because at that point, my subconscious mind was thinking the programming was going to go away. Again, remember, the part of the brain that controls your daily actions and thoughts is influenced by repetition. But the repetition has to be consistent enough that the subconscious mind realizes, boy, this is now the programming and it's not going away. And only when it realizes that will it feed it to yourself automatically. And that example really enlightened me as to its power. And it's interesting. I created this to impact my income. And I'll tell you in a minute how impactful it is for an entrepreneur specifically, but I also saw how totally impactful it was on my significant other relationship, as well as controlling my health and my appearance.
No, that would be great. I mean, a question I have for you then, I just want to go back. So you define exactly the person you want to be, what you want to achieve, and how you're going to achieve it.
Right.
And then, so this is that programming that you were talking about. So you're getting right. A lot of clarity around these key questions.
It's all about clarity.
Okay.
All about, I mean, this is really the quintessential way to create a life of intention.
Okay. And are you doing this? So you've mentioned your relationships. You mentioned just now as an entrepreneur, you talked about kind of your health and appearance. So how does this, do you do this? Do you ask these questions of every part of your life and kind of break it down into categories, or how does that work?
Right.
Okay.
You know, Kelly, there's five areas of your life, mm-hmm. yourself, your health, your significant other relationship, your spirituality, and your career. Those are the five areas.
Okay.
And so when you really sit down and articulate and understand exactly what you want in each area, that's the power of this. And here's the problem that most people face, and this is how most people create success. They have a general view of the person they want to be, a general view of what they want to accomplish, and a general view of how they're going to achieve their goals. Well, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, because that's how most people do it, of course, that's what produces an average life. And I found that the majority of people, candidly, are okay with an average life. Mm-hmm. And that's what creates it, that sort of general view of their life is what creates that average life. But if you want an exceptional life, you can't do life like everybody else. I mean, that's sort of the big picture thing I got is, if you want that exceptional life, whatever everybody else is doing, don't do that. Because that assures you, just the math assures you that that's not going to work if you want an exceptional life. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, it does. No, I love that. What about, so we have lots of entrepreneurs who are listening too. So how did this technique kind of give you the foundation for making, you know, from going from six figures to seven figures? Can you share a little bit more about that? I mean, obviously, we're getting kind of a bigger overarching, you know, idea of this process. But specifically, how did you move from making six figures to seven figures?
I love talking about that. So I'll share with you basically how it worked. So every day I would feed to myself my succinct business plan, my strategy for success, the culture I was building in my company, my unique talent and how it would play out in my company. And feeding this to myself every day played out in a couple of ways. The obvious way was, because it was so top of mind, it was easy to implement. And I also would articulate the three things that moved the needle in my business. That was critical. And so obviously I could implement all that because it was so top of mind. But it was the second thing that really surprised me that made a big difference as well. And I found that when you're feeding this to yourself every day, this succinct articulation of your business plan, your strategy for success, the two or three things that move the needle, the culture you're creating, it causes that vision to probably expand by 20 times faster than it ever did before. And I realized, and people realize this when they apply this, that truly you step back and you go, wow, you know, what I envision, I actually do create. And so therefore, let's create the detail in it. But once you're feeding that to yourself every day, you also realize that there are things in your vision that are not accurate. They're what you think, but they're not exactly accurate. There's always flaws in your vision. And maybe it's 80% right and 20% not right, but there's always flaws in it. And so, but when you're feeding it every day, your subconscious mind is now on the job 24/7 evaluating it. And it's challenging those, your vision, and it causes the flaws to be realized much quicker. And it also, when it identifies a flaw, it also provides what maybe the alternative is. And the thing that just blew me away was it felt like my vision was moving forward 20 times faster than it ever had before. And that was so powerful. And the other thing that sort of was significant about this, and we haven't talked about this, but one of the, you know, this basically comprise the Think and Grow Rich. There's six key parts to Think and Grow Rich. And one of those other parts, besides what you envision, is the power of personal growth. And so I created a way to grow on a weekly basis that took no additional time. And so when you're feeding your vision for yourself every day for your business, and you're also have increased your level of personal growth, it sort of like supercharges this process of moving your vision 20 times faster than it ever did before. It's like gasoline to a fire.
Love it. That's awesome. I really want to honor your time and everybody's. I have so many questions. So I'm going to try to get at least a couple of more in here.
Okay.
So when we were visiting and I was getting to know you a little bit more, I would love for you to share with our listeners the surprise you learned when you started making $1 million a year? Because it's not what everybody thinks. So I'd love to hear you talk a little bit more about that and share that story.
Right. Well, I touched on it a little, you know, that I would have thought it would be just the lifestyle stuff. And
yeah.
and it's good. I can't say it's not, but sort of that freedom.
Yes. Okay.
You know, all that stuff, the freedom and the lack of worry and the ability to spend your time the way you want. And I, you know, the other thing that's interesting in doing this, I see that a lot of people, I mean, I do this with a lot of successful people, help them do this. And interestingly, Kelly, I would say 80% of the people, if you had to rate their significant other relationship on a scale of 1 to 10, it's typically about a 3 or 4, mm-hmm. surprisingly. And I see that one of the great things of sort of getting on the other side is people can then focus on their significant other relationship, because that impacts their happiness really more than the other things. And so that's one of those other things that, you know, was surprising to me.
I love that. And I love, you know, you're right. I think they would rate it, you know, lower like that. And one of the practices, so this is a practice, doing it in repetition. It's something my husband and I do every week. We go out to dinner on Friday. And one of the questions we ask is, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would each of us rate the health of our relationship? You know, and so let's say it's a 9, you know, or
right.
an 8 or something. It's like, okay, well, what would make it a 10? You know, what?
Right.
So there's this regular dialogue that's happening around that, because, you know, but again, it's a practice. It's a habit. It's, you know, we're showing up for each other that way. And I forget who I learned that from. It might have been John Maxwell, in a process that I'd learned from him years ago. But we've done that for a long time. And, you know, it is... Again, it just that intention and showing up in a way for your significant other or in any relationship that you have
right.
in a good way. So,
you know, that's powerful. Do you know who Darren Hardy is?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, so he used to be the publisher of
Success
Magazine.
Yep.
And I'll share a quick story along those same lines. He introduced me to the idea of every Sunday night having a relationship talk, just like you do every Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
But when I created this about 2 years ago, and I would consider him probably the top expert in the world on success and achievement. I mean, he's brilliant. And so I thought, as I was bringing this to the world, I thought, you know, now I'm sort of smart enough. I'm going to go talk to the top expert in the world and show him what I've created and see what he thinks. You know, maybe he's going to see a flaw in it. Maybe he's going to say, oh, there's other things out there that are doing this. What you have is not that big a deal. I didn't know. But I didn't know him. And so I discovered that, Kelly, if you write a big enough check, you can meet almost anybody. So I write a big check, and I was able to spend 3 days with him, and I show him what I created and with my 12-minute-a-day mythology. And he looks at it and goes, wow, this is pretty damn good. But he says, John, here's the thing you don't understand. Most people will not spend 12 minutes a day on anything. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, Darren. How can that be? I mean, if this radically impacts somebody's success and achievement, surely they're going to spend 12 minutes a day on it. He goes, no, trust me. This is the dirty little secret of the success and human achievement field. Most people will not spend 12 minutes a day. And as we get into that, he says, here's the issue. Most people consider success just a preference. It's not a necessity. And that's what that was enlightening to me, because I saw that the people that really do my 12-minute-a-day methodology first had three characteristics. First, success absolutely is a necessity, not just a preference. The second thing is doing their best is actually their identity. And then thirdly, they see that the way they're creating success just doesn't work, at least not to their standard, and they're open to a new way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely, it does. Absolutely. No, and I love him. I know what you're talking about. I'm a High Performance Forum alumni myself, and I love Darren and all of his material and his thought process. And that's so funny you should say that, though. It's so true. No, I so appreciate that perspective, and I'm excited you shared it with our listeners. I have one more, well, maybe two more, but I'm going to one more because I'm selfishly asking this question because I want to know the answer for myself. And so I'm hoping some of our listeners do. So what is the advantage? Is the 12 minute a day process? Is that something, because I'm a meditator, I love to, that's part of my process. So is this something that is in lieu of, goes along with, is there an advantage over this method versus meditation? What are your thoughts around that? Or do you have any around that?
Absolutely. I think that meditation is good. I meditate, but I think a lot of people struggle with meditation. I will meditate for 3 minutes a day. But I think that this is better than meditation because meditation is all about quieting the mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is about focusing the mind on exactly who you want to be, exactly what you want to accomplish, and precisely how you're going to achieve your goals. And again, by doing that every day, now you're impacting your daily actions and thoughts. And I just think that that's more powerful than quieting your mind. Not that there's a problem with quieting your mind. It just seems to me to be more powerful.
Right. More directed and focused.
Right.
Love that.
Right.
I'm gonna ask one more question before we wrap this up. So it's one of my favorite questions, and it's that good leaders ask great questions. So what are some of the key questions you ask yourself as a leader, to kind of help keep you on track or thinking or reflecting?
God, that is a good question. I'm always trying to improve myself. I hope I'm not self-obsessed, but I see the value of being self-aware. And it's interesting. We have a president that is clearly self-obsessed, right?
Right.
In a bad way.
Right.
Not that I disagree with where the country is going. Finally, but I see the downside of being self-obsessed. But my question myself is being maybe self-aware, and he's not very self-aware. I keep on wondering why his daughter doesn't point out the shortcomings of some things he does. But I think that's the question I ask myself often is how do other people look at me and what do I need to know about how I am that, would make me maybe a little more other people oriented, a little more thoughtful of other people, that type of thing.
Okay. No, I love that. Wonderful. Well, this, I lied. One more question. So, is there a question, John, that you wish I would have asked today, but that I didn't, but you feel that our listeners would get some value out of?
God, that's great. Yeah. And I'll tell you, here would be the question. So do you think that if people are not as successful as they would like to be or think they should be, is it their fault? Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, I don't think it's their fault. And here's why. They've just been missing one key piece of information. And that key piece of information is understanding that today they're running their life using this antiquated operating system that is geared to daily survival. And that by doing this 12-minute-a-day methodology, you in place of it, you put a 21st century operating system that gears you to productivity and allows you to be proactive rather than reactive. And so it amazes me how you can make just one small change in your life and it can have such a material impact on your results, an exponential result.
Love it. No, I, John, I have so enjoyed our conversation today. And I have a thought. I'm going to throw this out here. I'm going to start making my bid now to have you back in 6 months, because what I am going to do, along with any other listeners who are listening and wanting to engage with me on this, shoot me an email. But I'm going to follow your process. I am going to apply the principles of Think and Grow Rich using your book, Think It, Be It, and then right. circle back with you and have you back on the show as an encore in 6 months to share the results and any results of our listeners who decide to join me on this. Are you up, are you up for that?
Love it.
Okay.
Love it.
Okay.
And I've got a gift for your listeners.
Okay.
So here's the gift. I'd like to teach your listeners the three key things they absolutely, positively have to know if they want to make over $1 million a year. And if you will email me at john@thinkitbeit.net, I'll share with you what those three things are. And obviously, this is probably a little more geared to the entrepreneurs, because entrepreneurs control their income more than other people. But if you're interested in anything I've said, email me at john@thinkitbeit.net. But I think the entrepreneurs would find those three key things that, I wish I'd known them, years ago. It would have made such a difference. And so I'd love to share that with your audience.
Perfect. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. That's so gracious of you. And I hope that anybody who's listening takes John up on that, because that's, again, such a gracious offering. Thank you so much.
Good. Good.
So, John, thank you so much. I know how precious time is. I am so grateful you shared some of yours with us today. So thank you so much for helping our listeners get the absolute advantage.
Okay. Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
This has been Absolute Advantage, interviews, advice, and success strategies for today's thoughtful leaders. But there's much more to come. Visit absoluteadvantage.com/iTunes to subscribe and leave your rating and review for the show. That way, you'll never miss an episode. We'll talk to you next time on Absolute Advantage.